Greetings and salutations. It's good to be with you again. This beautiful sunny day. Mary's my sunscreen. She keeps the sun out of my eyes. She's the screen.
She looks luminous to me.
What would you do if you woke up in the morning and found that you have no body?
Well, look for it. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
There was nobody there.
How would you do that?
Oh, what a blessing.
You've looked under the covers, you're looking for it, but you can't find it.
We're looking. Stop looking. We're looking. Really?
And you also realize the source of the thinking of these things, oh, not you. You are somewhere as a witness to the source that you are nobody, and there's nobody there. Yet, you feel your essence in everything. In the furniture, in the bed, in the windows, the whole universe. And when your wife or husband comes in, or children, they see you as a body. Yet you know 100% that you're not a body. You never were a body, there is no body. This is an awakening. The paradox is that you are sure there is no body, yet the body appears. And when you become adjusted to yourself, you see a body which is supposed to be you, but yet it's not there. You know there is no body, and there are no thoughts. Yet something is thinking and something appears to be a body. This is the great paradox. What we call Maya, the grand illusion. Right now you believe that you are a body. You are certain of this. But I can tell you truly, you're not. You never were. And you will never be. Yet you identify with what you call a body. You go through experiences in life. You're happy, you're sad, you cry, you laugh. You're sick, you're healthy, you're poor, you're rich. And you go through all these vicissitudes of life, making a career out of yourself. Putting yourself in various positions. Sticking up for your rights. Fighting for your survival. And going through all of these things that do not exist. This is the way you are now. This is the truth about you right now. You do not exist. Yet you appear to exist. You appear to have two arms and two legs. And you move around, you do things, and you feel things, and you go through things. But do you? I can tell you for sure you don't. You never have, and you never will. When you realize this about yourself, you stop being hurtable. Nothing can ever hurt you again. Your feelings can never be hurt because you have no feelings. You just exist as pure consciousness, pure awareness. Try to follow me on this. This is your true nature right now. Pure awareness. Right now. So there never was a body that you had to deal with. Yet the impression is so strong with many of you that never for a moment does a thought leave you that you're another body. The thought is always with you that I am the body. I am the mind. I am the experiencer. All spiritual teachings end with this understanding. Even the priests and the rabbis and the ministers and the yogis and the rest of these people, what they're trying to teach, what they're trying to tell you, is this ultimate truth. That you are not a body, but they don't realize this themselves yet. But all spiritual teachings is for that purpose. Just as if you were going to become a doctor, and you go to school for the purpose of becoming a doctor. You go to the second grade, the third grade, the fourth grade, junior high school, college. You're doing all of these things to become a doctor. You might not even know that you want to be a doctor yet. But you're taking the prescribed courses, biology, everything that you need to take. And finally it strikes you that you want to be a doctor and you become a doctor. So it is with all the religions and all of our spiritual practices. We say we want to become this, we want to become that. We want peace of mind, we want riches, we want all of these things. But what we really want is absolute freedom. The ultimate reality is pure awareness, absolute reality. This is the goal that is someplace within us, and we don't know. We're carrying it around. The ultimate reality is part of us already. But yet we go through all kinds of practices, meditations, sadhana, trying to awaken the kundalini, doing all kinds of tantric exercises, learning the Kabbalah, practicing Taoism, doing all these things that are completely unnecessary and ridiculous. They're all a waste of time. But then again, they're not a waste of time. They're not a waste of time because if you didn't do them, you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be in a class that teaches Advaita Vedanta. You wouldn't be seeking complete freedom. everything you've done has led you to this. Yet, it is all a bunch of nonsense. How can it both be correct? How can it be necessary and also be a bunch of nonsense? As long as you refuse to awaken and you refuse to see yourself as nobody, you're going to go through all these rituals and all these experiences and practice all these teachings and memorize the Bible and the sutras and everything else. You're going to go through all kinds of teachings again and again and again and again. Perhaps for many, many lives. Until you awaken to the fact that there's another teaching that's going to awaken me, really. There's no person, place, or thing that can ever awaken me and free me from bondage to myself. From bondage to Maya, to the universe, to the world. And this is the beginning of wisdom. When you realize this, again, when you realize that all the teachings in the world, all the spiritual practices in the world, all the yoga practices, all the disciplines you've been doing, is not going to awaken you one iota. You've been wasting your time. There's nothing that can awaken you. You're waiting for me to tell you what will awaken you. There's no thing that can ever awaken you. If a thing awakened you, it would not be awakening. If you rely on something to wake you up, it would not be a real awakening. What happens is you simply begin to see. You become pure being. But nothing made it happen. So nothing at all, the hard work you've been doing will make you awaken faster. I'm telling you these great truths tonight for your own benefit, because most of you have been here for a long time. All of the things in this world will not awaken you. There's nothing that can awaken you. For you're relying on something. And some all the things simply pull you deeper and deeper into Maya. You and I know many people who have been practicing spiritual disciplines for many years. They can recite the Bible backwards and frontwards. They memorize beautiful stanzas and spiritual books. They're good debaters on points of Advaita Vedanta or other teachings. They've been around the world with many teachers, many places. They're still the same as they always were. All they've done is add on to their ignorance. They keep adding and adding and adding all of the different teachings. They're filling themselves up with teachings. This will never awaken you. It's when you dispose of the teachings, when you get rid of the teachings, when you empty yourself out totally and completely, when there's nobody left to learn anything. That's when you simply see yourself as nobody. You look at yourself and you realize what you are. But no thing can make this happen to you. Therefore, what is the attitude to take? No attitude. What should you do? Nothing. What should you study? What should you learn? Nothing. Where should you go? Nowhere. With whom should you associate? No one. When you can get to this place, you are already awakened. For there was never anyone who had to be awakened. There was never anyone who had to practice spiritual teachings. There was never anyone who had a body. There was never anyone who existed. I know to some of you this sounds very strange. Yet it is the truth. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The only way you're ever going to learn this is by not learning anything. By keeping silent. Look how your mind is thinking right now. Some of you are saying to yourself, that guy is crazy. And you're right. Some of you are already thinking about lunch tomorrow, clothes you're going to wear, going to work. Your mind immediately starts to think. The lesson you have to learn is how to stop thinking. And no one can teach you this, really. Because there are no teachings that can adequately stop you from thinking. You have to want it yourself. In other words, instead of looking to me or any other teacher, another person is going to give you a sacred mantra, or a person is going to tell you a certain secret so you can awaken. Forget this. Look at me as a mirror for you. That's all. See me as a mirror for yourself. When you look at me, you see silence. If you're looking in the mirror correctly, there's no mind, there's no movement, there's no body, there's no one home. Then you see yourself. And you're just that. Remember, you haven't awakened to it, but there's no one to awaken. Always remember this. Many books, many teachings say you have to awaken. Who has to awaken? There was never anyone asleep. there has to be somebody asleep who is awakening. And yet, where you're coming from, you believe you're asleep. You believe you need a teaching. You believe someone has to touch you or give you a mantra or do something to you. You always want something. You always think you have to get something from the outside. The outside is a total illusion, just as you are. Therefore, the only thing you can get from the outside is total nonsense. Foolishness. Maya. That's all anybody's going to give you. You have to listen to these words and act accordingly. Just be. Do not be this or that. Do not think of just being. Just be. Forget about your dreams, your goals, your ambitions, your future, your past. These are all illusions. If you want to look to your future, to your goals, then the ultimate goal you're striving for is death. Because that's how everybody appears to end. This is where your goals get you, this is where your future is, in the grave. This is where everybody appears to wind up. Therefore, the wise person begins to know themselves as absolute reality before another day passes. They no longer keep thinking, what am I going to do when I leave this meeting? I'm going to go see a movie, I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to go home and watch a TV program. I'm going to go home and listen to records. Instead, the wise person thinks, I have nowhere to go and I have nothing to do. Yet, you will do the some things that you have to do. You will still go to a movie. You will still watch TV, perhaps, if you want to. You will eat dinner. But you will realize you're doing nothing. Again, this is a great paradox. How can you do something and at the same time be doing nothing? But this is exactly what's happening. Your body will appear to go through the motions and do all sorts of things. But you are doing nothing. when we speak of things like this, the finite mind cannot comprehend this. The finite mind wants to fight, argue, stick up for its rights. And many people forget about this kind of a teaching and go about their business. And they say, well, let's whatever happens, happen. It is only very few people that can grasp what I'm talking about. Everybody is ultimately going to come this way. Everybody is going to awaken one day. And yet, as long as you're engrossed in the body, the way you are, and in the world, and persons, places, and things, you will appear to come back life after life after life after life after life, until you come to the conclusion I've come to. We're all hellbound for heaven, so to speak. Everyone's going to get to this place, whether we like it or not. You may ask, if this is our true nature, nothing, no one, how did I get here in the first place? And this is a good question. Who asked that question? I did. So I'll answer. Nothing is happening. You never got here. There's no here to get. It's like hypnosis. Many of you have seen people hypnotized. And in the hypnosis, they seem to be seeing certain things that the hypnotist tells them. That these things do not exist. So it is with this world and your appearance in it. You appear to be here because you're hypnotized. You have certain thoughts, certain feelings, certain emotions because you're hypnotized. You feel you want to become self-realized, liberated, because you're hypnotized. Everything you feel, or do, or act is hypnosis. You are not the one that's acting, or doing, or being. You are beyond all this. You are boundless space. Nirvana. Satchitananda. You are not what you think you are. eternal happiness. Unalloyed peace, joy. This is your real nature. You are the substratum of all existence. The underlying current out of which all things come. Yet you are not those things that appear to be coming from you. You can tell if you're getting closer to this by the peace that overwhelms you, the happiness that takes you over. It is not a happiness because there's a thing happening in your life that you favor. It is not a happiness of something that you own that you didn't own before. It is not a peace because you're in the right environment and you feel peaceful. It's a peace and happiness that is always with you. You are that peace, you are that happiness. It is always there, it never leaves you. As long as you believe you are a body, it is virtually impossible to have this peace and this happiness. You cannot. For a body is part of the world conditioning. Therefore, you have to search for peace. You have to search for happiness. You believe that if you do this, you will be happy. If you do this, you will become peaceful. And then when you do this and you do that, the happiness and the peace, how long does it last? For a short while, things change. Environments change. Conditions change. Your family changes. Everything changes. Therefore, again, it is virtually impossible to have real peace and real happiness as long as you believe you are a body. Consequently, we do not go searching for peace or happiness. This is a mistake. What we do is we become our real self. We're not trying to become our real self. All this begins by quieting the mind. By not allowing the mind to react to conditions and situations. And I'm not only speaking of negative conditions and situations. I'm speaking of everything that arises in the mind. When you wake up in the morning and you see the beautiful trees and the sun up, the mountains, the flowers, the birds, this is also a false image. It is not a truth about you. You're not trying to exchange bad for good. For the singing birds that you listen to will only last a fortnight. How long is a fortnight?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, that's enough. All the trees you see will die in the winter time. what changed in the winter time. Everything you see changes. The beautiful flowers you pick for your morning breakfast table die within 24 hours or less. They're no longer beautiful flowers. What I'm trying to show you, you cannot depend on anything in this world for your happiness or your peace. It's a false premise. Things in this world only make you happy temporarily. When you come to the realization that you're not the body, at the same time you'll come to the realization that there's no world, there's no universe, there's no God. There is only that which is indescribable. You have to be very honest with yourself. Do I really want to become free? Am I really looking to awaken, to be liberated? What am I doing about it? Be honest with yourself. Listen to those kids having a birthday party, whatever they're doing. They're so happy. Yeah, at the end of the party, they have to go home. And they have to go to school tomorrow. When they have chores to do. And then they have to do things that they don't like. So in their mind, they start thinking about partying again. They make more parties. And they keep this up until they grow up. It never stops. Party after party after party. They become party animals. Searching for happiness, searching for peace, searching for everlasting joy. Yet, they do not understand that nothing outside can give you this. Nothing. You have to jump within yourself. You have to learn to sit in the silence, to quiet the mind. And it will come by itself. You do not have to pray for it or practice sadness, as I said before, or do certain rituals or read certain books. You simply have to sit, quiet the mind by observing it, and quiet to whom do the thoughts come. Be still and know that I am God. That's all I have to say. Feel free to ask some questions. Love, happiness, peace, joy are all your real nature. It is a feeling beyond the feeling. It is a total, ineffable something that you are, and makes you know that you are one with everything. Everyone is your brother and sister, including the flowers, the trees, the animals, the bed bugs, the cockroaches, the mountains, the sky, the sick people, the healthy people, the poor people, the rich people. When you can look at everyone with one eye and that differentiate, then you're in love. But when you pick out somebody special and you think that one you're totally in love with because he or she has the right features, the right figure, the right assets that you want, this is an infatuation. This only lasts for a day until you get what you want. But true love never changes. It doesn't go away because it never came from anyone. It's just something that is, and you are that.
How can one keep in touch with you when one is far away?
The self is all pervading. Therefore, the self is always wherever you are. It never came from anywhere and never went anywhere. It just is. Therefore, wherever you may be, if you you think of the self thinks of you. When the same self that you see sitting here is within you, it is your essence. You may be in Cambodia or Bali, India, Tibet, anywhere. How can the self ever leave you? And it's always with you. For it has nowhere to go. It is pure omnipresence.
To destroy the vasana.
For whom is the vasana? Where did it come from to begin with? It never existed. See, here's what you have to understand. If there was a real problem of samsara, vasana, what you're talking about.
What is vasana?
Mental impressions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about, huh? Vasana, samsara, and the rest of these negative things. If they really existed, then we would have to figure out how to destroy them. But the reality is, they do not exist. They are only a concept, an idea, accepted by the personal I, by the little self. So do not think of destroying them. For if you do, you'll have a fight in your hands. Simply become still and realize you have nothing to fight, nothing to fear, nothing to change. You are pure awareness. There's nothing you have to fight. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing inside of you that's holding you back. It is all your imagination. It is all your dream. It appears to be real. It's all Maya. It doesn't exist. Wake up. You are free. Do you see what I mean?
Does that mean that I have already had a lot of mental impression in my mind, and perhaps through my past actions. And when I sit for meditation also, this mental impression arise. And this means that I should not go after them. And if I stay every day in such no seeking, then I will realize God. Does it mean so?
There is no one who has to realize God. Do not think about the past. Do not believe there are past lives where you have to sit and work and pray and do spiritual sadhana. Forget about that. Be here now. This moment, in this moment, you are awake. In this moment, there are no hindrances holding you back.
But I'm still in my body.
Says who? That's a belief. This is the hypnotism I was talking about. This is the Maya. This is the illusion that you are still in your body. And if you do not believe right now that you are not in your body, you will never believe that you are not in your body. You will always appear to have a body until the day comes when you sit down and you say, I have no body. And it's gone. As simple as that.
Do I need some preparation for that?
Who says so?
Because of the mental impression in me for a long time, in the past time.
And again, it's your belief in mental impression that's keeping you back. There are no mental impressions. They're just a story. That's like when you watch a movie on the screen. And the movie ends, there are no more figures on the screen, no more images. Images are gone. And so it is when you sort of awaken to yourself, you realize there never were mental impressions. There's no past. No past has ever existed. Forget about the past. Now. Now is the appointed time. Right this second. In this second there's no past, there's no future. There's just now. And now is another name for absolute reality, for nirvana. This is now. But your mind wants to think about the past, wants to think about the future, wants to think about sadhana, about spiritual practices. The mind is fooling you. It's playing these tricks on you. Because you really have no mind. So how can these tricks be played on you? Do not think about all this. Just let go. And awaken.
Why should the Buddha, why did the Buddha say that we should renounce, we should renounce our sense, self-grant, so to say? Because if you say, I am now myself, I am pure consciousness. But if I use my sixth sense organs, then how can I stay in the self, as my pure consciousness?
The problem is you believe in your sense organs. you believe that you're using your senses. What I'm saying is stop thinking all these things. The pure teaching of Buddha was no mind, no body. No preparation, nothing. And yet he spoke differently to different people. For to have a teaching, you have to have different things to say. Therefore, voluminous texts have been written about the Buddha and his teachings. But in reality, his teaching was very simple. No one exists. There is no mind. There is no universe. He had to explain this to the people. He had to tell all kinds of stories, make up all kinds of things. Because the people of that time, just like the people today, insist on hearing stories. They want methods to work with. They want things that they can practice and things they can do. But in truth, you are the Buddha. Right now, just the way you are, you have the Buddha nature. You are that. There are no samsaras, no samskaras. Nothing like that exists. You are totally free. Why not accept your freedom and be happy? Why do you insist on thinking about all these practices that you have to do? The practices will never stop. They will continue and continue and continue and continue in life after life after life after life after life. They will never stop. Until you vehemently come to the conclusion that nothing exists and you are free. So you're thinking about this. That spoils it. Because when you start to think about it, you come up with vasanas, with some scars, with some sorrows, with all kinds of nonsense. Stop thinking and be free. In other words, you do not want to become a scholar in Buddhism or a scholar in Hinduism or a scholar in Vedanta and Advaita Vedanta. You do not want to be a scholar or a pundit and learn all these voluminous texts and be able to recite them and write many books. This is all a waste of time. Those are all human concepts. What you wish to do, what you really want to do, is empty yourself completely, totally, and be free. Empty yourself of everything. Right now, this second. When I speak of emptying yourself, I'm not speaking of time. I'm not speaking of little by little, day after day. I'm speaking of right now, this moment, this second, become empty, become free, be yourself, hallelujah.
I think everybody here wants to be that, but it's not possible.
Don't concern yourself with everybody else. You become the first one to be free. Leave everybody alone. When you become free, you'll realize everybody else is also free. There's no bondage. There's no enlightenment. When you realize you are the self, you won't realize everybody's also the self. You are the self of all. You're not limited to your body. You are all pervading. You are the creator of the universe.
But why do I not feel that?
Because you want to dream. You want to stay hypnotized. You're holding on to the Maya very strongly. You're holding on to your teachings and your past and all the mind stuff that's coming out of you. You're holding on to these things. Let go of everything of your frame. Just let go. Drop it.
Everything impermanent?
Excuse me?
Should I let go of everything impermanent? Impermanent? Change?
Let go of everything impermanent, everything permanent. Let go of everything. Have no concept of reasoning whatsoever. Make no differentiation between permanent and impermanent. When I say let go, I mean everything. Everything. Hold on to nothing.
I have a question.
Fred. Where'd you come from?
I snuck in. A few months ago, a book came out that stated that Krishnamurti, for many years, had an active sex life and created quite a stir in certain quarters. And I don't see why it should have, but it did. And in fact, when I came out to Santa Monica to see him in 1972, and somebody asked him about his sex life, and he let the fellow know in no uncertain terms that it was none of his business. So, in the minds of a lot of people, apparently, there's a connection between celibacy and realization. And I wondered if you wanted to comment on that idea, which seems to be prevalent in certain circles.
If you will spend your time disappearing, you will not have time to think about sex life and no sex life. Leave those things alone. It makes no difference. Keep your mind on losing your mind. Keep your mind in reality until your mind disappears. What's the difference if you're celibate or you're not celibate? That's not the point at all. It's the same like saying, I'm eating or I'm fasting.
Say that again, please.
It's like saying, I'm eating or I'm fasting.
Oh, no. It's not doing anything.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, you do. Your job is to disappear. To become visible. Leave the body alone.
Leave the world alone.
Leave the world alone. Leave people alone. Leave Krishnamurti alone.
You advise us when we attempt on trying to sit in the silence, that when a thought appears that I don't like or seems to be serving no purpose, say drop it. And that seems to work pretty well. But it doesn't take long for another thought to appear, and I have to do it again. And I heard something the other day that I thought was kind of interesting. Ramdas, the American Ramdas, when he is in this position, he tells the thought, go back to the kitchen. And I thought that's kind of pews, because it, what it means is that that thought doesn't belong in the front of the house. So I thought that's kind of cute.
Wow, that helps you do it. By all means, when you go back
to the kitchen. I use the droplets, for the most part.
You can drop it in the kitchen. Try not to make things complicated. Before you came, I was talking about we do not have to learn any methods. Do not look for methods. Because when you look for methods, you're using your mind, and it ties you down deeper to the Maya, no matter what the methods are. Just be yourself now. And yourself now is pure awareness, boundless space, absolute reality. This is you right now. There's nothing else to think about. There's nothing to get rid of, nothing to add, nothing to do. Live in that moment as pure awareness.
Something else I was thinking about. Not long after I got sober, I was talking to a guy that had experienced a lot of DTs, delirium tremens, and I asked him, are the things that you see and feel in DTs, are they real? And he said, oh yes, they're more than real. And I've always wondered if that he said that because in that experience, those things appeared or were felt without going through the filter of the conditioned mind.
That's a good point. When alcoholics have VTs, they see all kinds of things, elephants on the walls, all kinds of visions, hallucinations. And they appear real. Very real.
Really?
And no matter how much you tell them they're not real, they will not believe you. Such is the workings of the mind.
Like it's working like that?
The mind can accomplish anything, do anything. This is why I keep telling you, do not try to change the condition. Because we'll just change to another condition. Get rid of the mind. And the condition will never come back. Drop the mind into the condition. Get right to the cause, which is the mind, the ego, the I thought. When this goes, everything else will go with it. But it's a good question because it shows you what the mind can perceive, an illusion. This is how we see the world. We see this world as being real, but it's an illusion. Look at the beautiful sunset. We all think it's so beautiful, but it'll be gone soon. Where'd the beauty go? The beauty is gone with it. And then you feel sort of sad and you say, oh, I wish I could see that sunset all the time. But you can't. In the morning you watch the sunrise, same thing. It's beautiful. You can't wait for the sun to come up. You see it over the ocean. It looks so gorgeous. But then when it gets to the middle of the sky, which doesn't exist. You feel hot and bothered. He says, "Goddamn sun, I wish it would go away." So what's the truth? What's going on? All the beauty, all the joy, all the things you like turn into something ugly soon. Forget about all these things. They are coming out of you. You are the creator of all the suns, the sunsets, the moons, the planets, the universe. It all comes out of you. You are the instigator, the culprit, the boss. You may stop playing the game every time you wish by pulling everything back inside of you. The whole universe pulls like a rope and snaps back inside of you. And then you are the self. So again, do not rely on anything in this world to make you happy, because everything is temporary and turns into something else. Rather, turn into the truth. Become the truth, the reality, the absolute reality, the pure awareness. Om Shanti, 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 Om, peace, peace. Remember to love yourselves, to bow to yourself, to pray to yourself, to worship yourself. For God dwells in you as you. God bless you, I love you, you got prasad. Remember, the whole teaching is in the prasad. If you wish to awaken, it's on prasad. And Norman brought some fruit.
What does the word prasad mean, Robert?
It means blessed food.
Blessed food, thank you.